great future. We're talking real money.
Welcome to Talking Real Money, our multicast, our combo cast, our podcast, our...
caught on, by the way. A lot of people say, I watch the combo cast. I love
the combo
that.
Cast.
That, which sounds like you're throwing french fries into the thing or something, but I don't know.
And can I have a Coke with that? get your Coke with the combo cast.
That's not free.
And
either,
a large fry. I want the large fry, though.
Yeah, you know, maybe not.
The heck with my diet. I want the large fry.
Okay. Well, you're going to be
everybody.
On the road. You deserve
it. We call this Talking Real Money. I'm hoping you know why we call it that. Because what do? We talk about money realistically. And on a daily basis, almost, we try to help you understand a lot of this garbage out here and get on a better path toward a better future and more wealth in your pocket and not your broker's pocket or your financial advisor's pocket. So hi, everybody. I'm Don McDonald in the Florida studio, soon to get on a plane to go out to Seattle, Washington.
On a plane. Hey, good. Is it going to be one of these planes?
No, not one of those planes. Oh, no, I would be sick if I flew one of those planes.
The B-58 Hustler, that's a jet plane. That would get you here in about 40 minutes, dude.
No, I'm good. Thank you. I'll be sitting in Delta, hopefully all Comfort right. Plus or something, winging my way across the United States for Retire Meet 2022, coming up soon. Now you've distracted me. Oh, okay, and that's Tom Koch
to the
in the airplane
in
hangar.
Yes, okay.
That's Tom. That's Tom Koch. That's
over there. Thank you for that.
Or over there. I don't know which side of the screen he's going to be on because it's a computer that decides. So he's over there on one of those
sides. I'm on the right
side. You're rarely on the right side. One of our biggest problems with the financial services industry is the structure of it. It is not structured to be transparent. It is not structured to be easy to understand. It is not structured to help you find the best advice. It is structured to make the most money for the companies providing the advice. And that's as it is with almost any industry, really. I mean, I just finished watching the 3 Mile Island documentary on Netflix.
Is that good? It's queued up for
It's pretty good.
Yeah, and, okay.
You know, it's all about, do we care about the people's safety? Or do we care about our bottom line? Which is more important? That's the way it is with the financial services industry in large part. And I hate that it's that way, but you understand why it is. It's a bunch of people. And people are greedy. And people will lie. People will obfuscate. And they will mislead. So you may be dealing with someone that you think is a independent fiduciary financial advice provider, and yet odds are you're not. Most of them are not as independent as they claim, and most of them are not fiduciaries, but it's hard to tell the difference, Tom.
Well, let's talk about, first of all, why independence is important. Why we believe independence is important. Because even if you go to find firms like Fidelity or Vanguard or BlackRock, guess what the product they're going to use for you is going to be? Fidelity, Vanguard, or BlackRock, which has some very good products. They also have some not so great products. They've got some actively managed funds, et cetera. And by the way, as an aside, saw a portfolio this week where the average expense ratio, the charge for the mutual funds was 1.5%, and then it's C-shares. So they're paying 1% a year on top of that, knowing it.
You mean the actual expense ratio of the fund?
The fund.
Was 1.6, and then there was 1% 12B1 on
correct.
Top of that?
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh.
You thought that had gone away in like the 90s or something. But at any rate. Why is it important to have independent advice? I think it is because then you know with a 100% fiduciary advisor, you're going to get the very, 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 very best products, if you will, investment vehicles to do that. When you go and you work with any of the firms aforementioned, but more specifically, because the article does talk about, and I think this is an article that everyone should know about, should read, because the insurance industry, they try to pretend that they're not the insurance industry. You have to right? figure
they
out
that they don't want you to know.
You go to these websites and you think it's like a Don McDonald's investment advice. Well, and then you go have to go way, scroll way down at the bottom and see that it's part of the Mass Mutual. It's fascinating to me. According to this article, Mass Mutual, 8,000 securities brokers. 8,000 wow. securities. I mean, that's crazy. And here's the part. It's almost basically the article talks about how it's impossible to go to these people's website and decide that they're Mass Mutual product salesmen. And then they quote Maggie Seidel, a spokeswoman for Finseca, an insurance industry trade group. She acknowledges that firms might choose to mute the insurance connection for marketing reasons, but also says the practice isn't deceptive. It's legal, but it's, in my mind, unethical. In other words, you're trying to bring people in, get them in so that they like Don, and then Don's going to tell, ha ha, I've got a great product for you. Guess what they use? Their awful products. The aforementioned loaded funds, the awful annuities, etc. This is an article that is absolutely critical. The information, one person says that has a federal job, says the information is there for investors. It's critically important that they read it. It's almost impossible to find. You have to actually read the disclosure doc. How many people actually read any disclosure document? Come on.
0.1%, I'm guessing.
It's a tiny little number. And that's the only way you can find out that these people are not a mom, pa, you know, investment advisory firm. No, they're actually, as I said, peddling products for a large company. And in this case, wow, 8,000 securities brokers that are out hustling whatever product. And by the way, the article also points out that guess what? They make more if they sell you their products, which is disclosed, but it's awfully hard to find. You got to read through all the disclosures to find it.
Well, no, there's one little trick. Now, they don't all do this because some of them are starting to hide it, but I think they may get into a little trouble if they start trying to do too much of this. But for example, one of the companies mentioned in the Wall Street Journal article was a group out of Connecticut called Barnum Financial Group. There's a
one's born every minute. Right?
I know that's why easy. I chose them.
Come on, really?
One's born every minute. They have a gorgeous website. Really, wow. Oh,
of course they
great
do.
Great website, yeah. And they have $30 billion of assets under advisory or assets under management. Mm. That allows them to throw in their annuities and things. They have 320 people working for them.
Yeah,
320 people.
Yeah. Not a small place.
And you see it and you think, well, this is an independent firm. You know, it's right. Look at this. They got all these great strategies.
PT would be proud.
You scroll to the bottom of the page.
And what do you find?
All the way down. And it's a very long page.
Yeah.
The second to the last line right above their address says, securities and investment advisory services are offered through qualified registered representatives of MML Investor Services.
And what is MML?
Exactly. Even
yeah, thank
that
you. Yeah.
Is a little bit of an obfuscation because MML is Mass Mutual yeah. Life. Ooh.
Which they don't print out now, do they?
No. So it behooves you. And it behooves you to do some research on the firm with which you are working. You must do that. And if you don't want to do the research, well, get in touch with us. We'll help you do the research.
Yeah.
We can tell you whether a firm is likely. We can't do it with absolute certainty, but we can tell you whether a firm is likely to be acting as a fiduciary at all times and is truly independent or is part of this larger, like a larger chain. A lot of, and it's not just the insurance industry, in the brokerage industry too, a lot of firms will have an independent sounding name. And yet work for LPL or work for...
And you have to dig in to find it.
Right.
Do you need to get that? Because I can see that's a very important
it's the
call.
Actually, it's the dishwasher installer. Hold on. Let me
don't ever miss with those people.
I take it you're on your way.
That's my three takeaways.
Okay, we'll see you then. Thanks.
Keep it clean, Don. My number one takeaway is keep those dishes clean.
That's the dishwasher for the garage apartment.
Oh, okay.
It's number one, leaked. Yes.
I think there is the only way to get great service, to get, as I said, not a product salesman, the lowest cost, best is to always use an independent advisor. Number two, it has to be a 100% fiduciary, not someone who says, yeah, I'm a fiduciary. Oh, by the way, I have this other hat and now I can sell you a product.
Oh, which speaking is of huge. Hats, we have the best giveaway coming up this weekend at Retire Meet. I forgot
to
mention
this. What are we giving away?
We're giving away the Test Your Advisor hat set, the Test Your Advisor hat collection.
How are we giving that away?
I'm bringing them along. We've got several of them. We're going to give them away as prizes for certain things throughout the event. You can win a set of hats. And this is for folks who, you're not sure if your advisor is a fiduciary, you're going to want this hat set. And what you can do is this is a great way to test your advisor. When you meet with them, you take them the two hats and you go, okay, here's what I need you to do. When you're my fiduciary, wear the green hat. When you're selling me something, wear the red hat.
I want to know how many times a red hat is worn. Let me finish. Number three.
There's more.
For the life of me, the minute you discover that someone is working, and we just had somebody bring up New York Life not long ago. Nothing wrong with insurance companies because I use them. I have
for insurance.
Life insurance. Yeah, I have life insurance. I have auto insurance. I have home insurance. And I even have an umbrella policy, which I just renewed, which is relatively inexpensive, but Don might look at it and go, why do you have that? You have all those other, because in case somebody slips and falls on the sidewalk, which they won't today.
I'm coming to your house on Sunday. Good thing I know this.
I hadn't thought about that. For the life of me, people, don't use insurance companies for retirement planning or for investing. No offense to them. They're very fine people, but this is not what they specialize in. Okay, let Don offend them. For the life of me, I don't know why you're using them for that.
Because use they're them nice for insurance. People.
Yeah, I know. Okay, that's great. Good.
Seem to know what they're talking about, and I don't know what I'm talking about, so I have to find an expert, and my cousin's nephew's brother.
Yeah. Okay, I know that happens.
Does that make it a cousin somehow? I don't know.
So it's just not a good idea. And generally, by the way, when we look at the situation after 5+ years that people have been doing that, we find all the aforementioned annuities, high expense funds, all the stuff that you didn't want to own, but you ended up with.
And here's the thing. At that point, you've already paid them all the ridiculous commissions.
Exactly.
It's real. If you're in doubt, contact us before you do stuff, okay? It's easy. You just call us at 855-935-TALK or send a question in at talkingrealmoney.com. Call the show live on Saturdays. But you got to protect yourself. We'll help. We'll help. But you have to get in touch with us. We try to help anyway. As a matter of fact, if you go to talkingrealmoney.com/help, there's a bunch of help there. See, we want to help.
I do.
You want to help somebody else who sent a question in?
Yeah, we've got time for one question because you got to get to the airport, my friend.
I do.
I'm calling up the B-58 Hustler right there.
Chum.
That thing will pick you up.
I didn't even know what a B-58 is.
It's a great
plane. I didn't know there was such a thing.
Well, a lot of these you don't
I know what a B-52 is. B-58 must not flown very long.
Not very long because the B-52 sort of, they went, it's a better plane. It can carry more bombs, et cetera. So that was the first supersonic U.S. Air Force bomber.
Okay. Yeah.
John Denver's dad used to fly it, by the way. How about that?
Not only an aircraft education, but a pop trivia question.
Just wind that in there because you just got to know this stuff. Sorry.
Hi, Don and Tom. My IRA is the traditional 60-40 split. I'm retired and don't need to take any money out until age 72, another 4 years. I'm a big believer in treasury bonds only as the bond part of the portfolio. I'm not reaching for yield, as you like to say. All I want to do is preserve buying power as much as possible. For the treasury bond part of the portfolio, I have about twice as much in intermediate as I do in short term and the least amount in tips. No long-term bonds. Good for you.
This is doing pretty well so far.
Yeah. Since it appears we're in an interest rate increasing economy now, wouldn't it be a good idea to take some money out of intermediate bonds and buy more short-term and TIPS? Since the short-term bonds will mature quicker than the intermediate, it should get me into the higher interest rates quicker. This seems like a good idea. What say you? Thank you.
What say I is that sounds like a market timing move because we really, what they've already done with interest rates, I'm talking about the Federal Reserve, no one knows how much is coming next. Mm-mm. No, literally we don't. And as you've correctly pointed out in this program several times, the Federal Reserve is responsible for raising the overnight rate. All the rest of it is done by the marketplace. So the marketplace may decide at some point, well, a 3% 10-year treasury, that's pretty good in the current. There's a whole lot of other factors that go into that. So no, I would, I love your 2-to-1 ratio, intermediate yep. to one in the, you know, so 66% in the intermediate. This isn't perfect. 33-34% in the shorter term. That's fine. I like TIPS. Those would be perfectly fine to have in your portfolio as well to give you a little bit more protection against inflation, which has been odd. The TIPS have not done well this year. But anyway, so I think that's still fine. But here's the thing. That is the portfolio you should own all the time. Not unlike the stock market where you say, well, this part has done far better, so we can own more of that now. Just in time for that part not to do as well. That's why you're diversified. That's why you have the proper mix for all markets, is how I'd put it.
And the problem with your thinking, and this gets really to the crux of the matter. You said we're in a rising rate environment. You see, what you did is you misspoke. You misthought, because what you're doing is projecting the current market in which rates have risen, the past market in which rates have risen, and you're projecting that forward into time, and there is no way to know how much higher those short and intermediate rates are going to go. They could be done going up. We don't know. They could go up for another 6 months and then fall again. We don't know.
Yeah.
So that's why we believe you build the right portfolio forever, not for what seems to be happening, because it's guessing.
And again, the only time we would be emphasizing changing the stock to bond ratio, for example, would be when your life circumstance changes. I don't want this much volatility.
Right.
I'm retiring, et cetera. That is reasonable. But to change it in the face of whatever economic issue is going on, we know the people that do that generally end up with less money. It
really is market timing. No matter how you try to justify it based on, well, here's what I know. The fact is, beyond this very moment that you're experiencing right now, you know nothing. You think things. You project things. You anticipate things. But you don't know a thing about the next moment. Do you know what we're going to do next, Don? See, he doesn't know.
Go get some breakfast. I'm going to go find my hat, take it with me, and get the heck out of here.
I'm going to get yelled at by the CEO in a few minutes, so I know what I have coming up. So
good luck with that.
Yeah, thanks. Yeah,
maybe
have him talk
to the dishwasher guy. Maybe put them together or something. I don't know.
I hate bureaucracy. The bureaucrats don't like it when you hate bureaucracy.
No, that's true. They do not. So I'm going to let you take your. I'm going to let you dick your lashing on your own. So good luck.
Bureaucrats love bureaucracy.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah.
I don't know. We're skipping out of here. We're ending this little podcast. Thanks so much for being a part of it. I'm Don. That's Tom. We're talking real money.
We hope you realize that the information provided on Talking Real Money is for informational, educational, and hopefully enjoyable purposes only.
Providing personalized financial planning or investing advice takes time, so please consult with a really good fee-only fiduciary investment, tax, or legal advisor. We know a good one. Investing must always involve risk. In other words, you can and probably will lose money at times.
Also, as much as you want it, no one can accurately and consistently predict the future.
So past performance doesn't tell you a darn thing about what the future will bring.
Unlike many other programs that say something similar, Talking Real Money is not trying to get you to buy or sell any financial products or securities.
Instead, the program is provided as a public service by Appella Capital, a fee-only registered investment advisor.
Thanks for listening, and please visit talkingrealmoney.com for more information and disclosures.
Are we done now?